June 4th, 2019.
Dr. Bondi wants me to thank you for your contribution to Torah to Go. He loves it.
Good.
Dr. Bondi said, make sure you tell him.
Are you good?
I'm here. Let's get a little lower.
On Shavuos, we celebrate Kabbalah Satorah. And Gemara tells us in the end of Makkos that there are 613 mitzvahs, and the Rambam wrote a whole sefer on mitzvahs to try to determine which exactly are the 613 mitzvahs. The Ramban writes he's not so convinced that all the Tanoim and Amoraim agree. Maybe he says this Maimon Chazal has such mazel that so many svarim were written to try to establish which are the 613 mitzvahs. Who says that everybody agrees? But the Bahag before the Rambam and then after the Rambam, there's so many different versions of what the 630 mitzvahs are. So the Rambam has in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he has two parts. The first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he has the 14 guiding principles that determine which mitzvahs should be counted, which should be included and which not, and which should count as two mitzvahs, which should be counted as one mitzvah. Let's say Tefillin Shel Yad, Tefillin Shel Rosh. So the Rambam's opinion is that you count it as two mitzvahs, and other Rishonim say you count it as one mitzvah. Sfira Sa'ema, the Gemara says, it's a mitzvah the Mimni Yomi, mitzvah the Mimni Shavui. So the Rambam claims that it's one mitzvah. He counts everything all together, and he quotes those who disagree and say, no, there are two mitzvahs. Separate mitzvah to count the day, separate mitzvah to count the weeks. So several of the Sharoshim, the 14 Sharoshim of the Rambam, are very important. One of the more important Sharoshim is Shorosh Tes, number 9, where the Rambam develops his opinion about Kefal HaMitzvah. What do you do if a mitzvah is mentioned, let's say Tefillin, the mitzvah to wear Tefillin, Shal Yad and Tefillin Shal Rosh, appears 4 times in the Chumash. Parshas Kaddish, Vayoke V'yachashma, V'yayim Shemayim. So the Gemara says if a person doesn't wear Tefillin, he's Mabatal 4 mitzvahs. So the Rambam says it doesn't mean that he counted as 4 mitzvahs in the Minyan Taryag. It's one mitzvah and it's repeated 4 times for emphasis. And the same thing the Rambam says, if you have an Avera that's repeated in the Chumash several times, it's repeated for emphasis, but it doesn't mean that you should count it many times. It doesn't mean that you get many times Malkus. When the Gemara says you have a Pasuk and it seems to repeat what it says in another Pasuk, the Gemara says, all right, Labra ala b'shnei lavin. So the Rambam says means it's just for emphasis. You don't get twice Malkus. It's only counted as one lav in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, and there's only one Malkus. This is a Chiddush of the Rambam. This Rambam's opinion is in disagreement with many of the Gaonim, and Rashi, and Tosfos, and the Ramban followed the Rambam. They all disagree. There is a Gemara in Malkus, but the Gemara says if you eat certain worms or certain treif of fish, ochel potisa, loika arba, nemola loika chomesh, tzira loika sheish. If you eat an ant, so you get 5 times Malkus. So Rashi and Tosfos and the Ramban and the Goyim all work to calculate how do you figure out that there are 5 times Malkus. They say, well, if you eat any bug, any treif of bug, so that right away there are 3-4 Malkus because the Pasuk is repeated 3 or 4 times. So they're of the opinion that when you have a Kefal Alav, you get Malkus in accordance to how many times it appears in the Chumash. That's why Tosfos works on the Kasha, Tosfos on the first daf in Chulin, and Tosfos on the first daf in Temura. Works on Akasha. The opening Mishnah in Temura says if you have a korban and you decide you want to exchange it, either to bara or rabatov, you want to substitute a better korban or inferior animal instead of the better animal. So the Torah says lo yachlifenu v'lo yamaros. It says twice. And so the Mishnah says whoever violates the din of Temura, he takes a korban, he takes his korban, he takes a mehemas chul, and he says harezu tachazu. So the Mishnah says he gets Malkus once. So Tosfos is bothered with the Kasha. Why doesn't he get Malkus twice? Because the Pasuk says twice, Lo yachlifenu, v'lo yamaroisim. So Tosfos has a whole discussion on the Kasha. Tosfos has the Marsha, has the famous original Teretz on Tosfos' Kasha. But according to the Rambam, the whole Kasha doesn't get off the ground. If you have a Pasuk is repeated It says the same thing twice, that you don't get 20. You don't get the 2 times malchus. What does the Gemara say? That if you eat certain worms or certain fish, ochokotisa leka arba, you get 4 times malchus, the mola leka chomish, 5 times malchus, tzira leka shesh, 6 times malchus. How come you get so much malchus? So the Rambam says, not because of kefal alav. The Rambam learns that there's a separate lav for sheretz ha'oretz, if it's a sheretz that crawls on the ground. Then there's another lav not to eat sheretz ha'of, if it flies. Then there's another lav not to eat sheretz ha'mayim, if it's a tray for fish. So the Rambam says, if you have an animal that flies and it swims and it crawls on the ground, so it's A, B, and C, so that's why you get 3 times malchus. And the Ravid is masig, and then the Gemara says you get 6 times. What are the others? The Rambam says, and then there's another law for bugs that are spontaneously generated. And then the Rambam says, and anybody who's going to tell me that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation doesn't know the ABC of science. That's what the Rambam writes. So the Rambam was forced into his new interpretation because of his premise. He was assuming that if you have a kefal alav, you don't get malchus many times. That's a fundamental machlekes. In fact, there's an interesting Tosfos in the beginning of Ezel Neshech. Tosfos has a comment that the Gemara will only say that a pasuk is repeated twice, lavrola b'shnei lavin. The Gemara will only say that if it's relevant, nafkamina lamalkas. If it's lavrola b'shnei lavin, if you get tzvei mal malkas, then it makes sense, lavrola b'shnei lavin. But if it's a lav that doesn't get malkas anyway, then it doesn't make sense that the Gemara should say lavrola b'shnei lavin. The Rambam clearly does not agree. The Rambam says when you have a kefal alav, you only get once malchus. That's a fundamental chiddush that the Rambam develops in the Shoroshim, in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvos. Then the Rambam has a famous comment. The first three are very famous. Of the 14 Shoroshim of the Rambam, the first three are very famous, and the ninth one is famous. All the others are not that important. The others are basically one. Ishaila, whether you count something as a mitzvah, not, so he says certain psukim, kedoshim tiyu. Kedoshim tiyu is just, he says some of the Rishonim counted kedoshim tiyu as a mitzvah. The Rambam says kedoshim tiyu just means keep all the mitzvahs. That's a general klal. Shmartim es mitzvoisai basisim osim. So you don't count that as a mitzvah. That's just a zeros to observe all the other mitzvahs. You count tzitzis on mitzvah, tefillin, kiddush. Shefer, you have something separate, but just Pasuk says, observe all the mitzvahs, so that doesn't count as a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah clawless. Then the Rambam says, if the Chumash gives a din, and then it gives a reason, so you don't count the reason as a separate mitzvah. Most of the klolim of the Rambam, most of the Shoroshim, are very, very elementary. But the important ones are, number one, he says, you only count mitzvahs derai, so you don't count mitzvahs derabbanan. Because the Gemara says, the Rabban Shalom gave Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, Taryag mitzvahs nemelo l'Moshe Misinai. So the mitzvahs ben the Rabbanim were not given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. In this klal of the Rambam, that's the first shorosh, the first klal. This klal of the Rambam is clearly in disagreement with the halachas gedolos. Halachas gedolos did count mitzvahs the Rabbanim. He counts Mikra and Megillah, and he counts hadlokas Neres Chanukah and Tilus Yadayim. He does count mitzvahs the Rabbanim. In many communities in Europe, they used to say the piyutim on Shavuos, the piyutim that had all the asharas. They had the Rishonim wrote piyutim. That would review all the 613 mitzvahs. Rav Soloveitchik said he remembered as a child when he was growing up, the first day Shavuos, they would say the first half of the piyut. They didn't say the whole thing on one day. It takes forever. So the first day Shavuos, they would say half of the piyut. The second day Shavuos, they would say the second half of the piyut. To do 300 mitzvahs the first day, another 313 the second day. So in the piyutim that were commonly recited in many communities in Europe, they go against the Rambam. They're going with the other shittas that you do include mitzvahs midrabbanan in the minyan taryach. The Rambam says that it doesn't make sense. Then the Rambam has the second klal that the Rambam writes is that's kedai to spend a little time on. Rambam says you only include in the minyan of 613 mitzvahs things that are mefurish pshuto shal mikra. But whatever is only learned out through the drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh is not included in the minyan of taryach mitzvahs. So the Ramban has a whole attack against the Rambam. What's wrong? Whatever's learned out from drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh, like the first Sherish, it's only with the Rabbanan. So the Ramban gets so upset that the drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh are their Isa. What does the Rambam think? That they invented these things? They weren't invented by the Chachamim. They read in between the lines and they came up with these dinim der Isa. It's not with the Rabbanan. Why should the Rambam say you only include mitzvahs that are known through the Pshuta Shel Mikra? Why are drushas of the Torah Shel Bal Peh inferior to Pshuta Shel Mikra, Torah Shel Bal Peh? The Pashta says, this is the Rambam L'shitosa, the Rambam writes in the Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnayis, that there's Torah Shel Bal Peh, and there are five parts to the Torah Shel Bal Peh. We speak about it every so often. So the Rambam has a dispute with the Ge'onim. What are the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and the Drash and Spam all about? So the Rambam says, in every generation, you go to the Rabbanim who are alive in your generation, and whatever they say, you have to follow. So in every generation, they can come up with a new drasha. In every generation, they can be mechadish new dinim. And there's even Machlekes Achreinim, the Chidor, who lived in the 1700s. Chidor wrote, I think, over 80 svarim. So and each sefer is a separate sefer. He doesn't repeat the same thing. He wrote a few encyclopedias, encyclopedia of Gemara, encyclopedia of Halacha, encyclopedia of Agoda, encyclopedia of Kabbalah, all kinds. So he has a whole sefer, a commentary on Megillas Rus, that's called Simchas HaRegel. So he discusses there, Shaila, if a Bezdin in a certain generation comes up with a new drosha of the Torah Shel Bal Peh with a new din that was never heard of before, do we assume that Zigloyim Milsalim Afreh, this was always the din since Maimon HaSinai? Or should we assume no? Just like if the Bezdin would invent a din derabbanan, the din derabbanan only applies Mikan Lahabo. So if the Bezdin in this generation is Mechadish, a new drasha in the Torah Shel Bal Peh, true, it becomes a din deraisa, it only becomes a din deraisa Mikan Lahabo. So the Chazon Ish thinks the second way. Chazon Ish holds that it only becomes Mikan Lahabo. Interesting. So this is the Rambam's opinion, that the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem were transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu. He transmitted from generation to generation. And the Bezdin in every generation has a right without any precedent. They have a tradition what the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem are. But that they decide to darshan on a certain pasuk, a certain din, that can be mechadosh. In fact, the Gemara tells us during the Tkufa of the Bais Rishon, Shlomo HaMelech established that they should do Nisach HaYayin in one way, and then during the Tkufa of Bais Sheni, they did Nisach HaYayin totally differently. The Bezdin in the beginning of the Bais Sheni, Ezra Nechemed, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, they disagreed with Shlomo HaMelech, and they knew the way they did Nisach HaYayin during Bais Rishon. There were people, there were old-timers who were 80 years old who remembered how Nisach HaYayin was done, and they said they don't have to follow the precedent. They darshan the psukim differently. So the Sfasema says, what does it mean? Does it mean that for 410 years during the Tkufa, the Bais Rishon, nobody's ever yotze Nisach HaYayin? So he gives a whole answer based on Hasidus and Kabbalah, but the Pashtuns, the answer is no, that's the din. Vosel shefet toshir b'yamim hayin, ein l'chal shefet shebi'amecha, yiftach b'dora kishmol b'dora. So the Bezdin in each generation darshans the psukim the way they see fit. The Rambam says this in disagreement with the Gaonim. The Gaonim were of the opinion that there is a maimer that appears in several Midrashim. Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes several of the sources in the Nefesh HaChaim. The maimer appears in the Midrashim that says, "Kol ma she'tamed vasik osei l'chadish nemar lo l'moshe m'sinai." Any good din, that a good Talmud Chacham, sometimes the Talmud Chacham come up with some silly ideas that are not correct. But if a Talmud Vasik, a good Talmud, comes up with a Chiddush din, so every Chiddush din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Goyim took that literally. Every single line in Shulchan Aruch and in Mishnah Berurah was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the question begs itself, so what do you need Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem? If everything was a tradition, so the Goyim say, that's just to check to make sure that your tradition is correct. Maybe you heard it wrong, maybe you remembered it wrong. A lot of times our memory plays games on us and we remember things that never happened, or we remember things backwards. So if you have Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem, that's a way to check that your tradition is correct. But the Bezdin in every generation does not have the right to come up with new chidush. That's what the Goyim say. So the Rambam writes, he disagrees, and he says it's an embarrassment to the Jewish people to adopt such a position. It means that the most cherished, most valuable thing that we have is the Torah, and on every page in the Gemara, there's a machlokes. I mean, they had a tradition on everything they forgot. 98% of the Torah they forgot. Everything is mutab machlokes. Every page in the Gemara has machlokes in it. How could that be? So the Rambam says he doesn't believe that that's true. Whatever they had a tradition on, whenever there's halacha l'moshe m'sina, the Rambam says that you're not going to find the machlokes. They have a tradition. Is it tradition? The whole machlokes is a new shaila came up and they had no tradition on it. So the rabbanim in every generation who have the knack, they have the feel, they know how to read the psukim, how to read in between the lines of the psukim, how to apply the yud gimel nidus, can come up with new halachas in every generation. And even to the extent that we said the chidor quotes a machlokes achronim, if a bezdin in a later generation comes up with a new din, do we assume the din was always so since Maimon HaSinai? Do we assume the din is only so mikan al haba? So the Chazon Ish holds only mikan al haba. So that's what the Rambam Lishitosa writes. If you're counting Taryag mitzvahs, you cannot say that you include all the mitzvahs that are pshutish on mikra and all the mitzvahs that are based on drushas of Torah Shabbat Peh. If every generation the Bezdin has a right to add on more mitzvahs and more mitzvahs and more mitzvahs, the Bezdin every generation can read into the psukim the way they see fit. They can come up with new dinim. So when they come up, they already have 613 mitzvahs. They're going to come up with a new mitzvah. You have to throw out one of the previous mitzvahs because you only have 613 mitzvahs. So that's what the Rambam says. No, you start off with 613 mitzvahs. You start off, there are Taryag mitzvahs based on Pshut Ushal Mikra on Torah Shebichsav. And then in every generation, the Bezdin adds on drushes. They make new drushes to read in between the lines, come up with additional mitzvahs. But you can't say that all the drushes of the Torah Shebaal Peh are included in the Taryag mitzvahs. The Ramban took it. Ramban has such a fierce attack against the Rambam on that Shoresh base that just like Shoresh Aleph, the Rambam says, you don't include mitzvahs that are Rabbanan. So Shoresh Beis, you don't include mitzvahs that are only known through drushes of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Ramban understood the Rambam as saying, Torah Shebaal Peh is not that important. As if it's not their Raisa, as if it's invented by the rabbis. It's not a din de Rabbanan. It was invented by the rabbis. The rabbis were given the Midrash HaTorah and the Drushes Peh. And in every generation, they would come up with new dinim. And many achrayim hold that the new dinim only apply mikan al abo. It's not the glory muslim afreya that that was always the din. But the reason why the Rambam holds that you can't include the roshas of the Torah Shebaal Peh, because how can you say there are only 613? If every generation they could add on another 10 and another 10 and another 10.
The Yud Gimel Midos, is that according to everybody or just Rabbi Yishmael?
The Brisa of Rabbi Yishmael is the beginning of Torah's Kohanim, the Sifrua. There are other Tanoim who disagree with some of the details. Klal Prat, they hold is really a Ribu Yemiyut. Klal Prat, the Klal is a Ribu Yemiyut. But they disagree about the details. But I think they all agree that there are more than 13 meters. We have the Lamed Beis Midos, Rabbi Elazar ben Osher, Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Some of them are in Agoda, some of them are in Halacha. There are more midas. There are more than 13, and everybody agrees. They just argue about certain details of the midas, but they all agree. They all agree to all the 13 midas. Yeah, we don't have all of these midas in the Gemara. The Gemara, several of the midas in the Braisa only appear in the Torah's Kohanim. The Gemara never has examples of them. But the Amoraim didn't know how to deal with these midas. The Gemara has a statement. The whole learning that we have today is really medam and milsa the milsa. That's a binyan av. If you have a din in this case, and you have a new case, and the case at hand that came up, the shaila came up, is most similar to in the halacha. You have two sifim in the shulchan aruch based on Gemara, one sif and another sif. So the shaila that came up today, is it more similar to that sif or to that sif? So that's called binyanav, mamatzino, medama milsa la milsa. So the Gemara says, kol ha-Torah kula is medama milsa la milsa. What do you mean, kol ha-Torah kula? I mean, in the days of the Amoraim, they really didn't know how to apply the Midrash HaTorah and Drash HaSpem. Already in the days of the Tanoim, many of the Midrash HaTorah and Drash HaSpem had been forgotten. Rabbi Shechaim Litzato, the author of the Mesil Sushama, has a whole essay about this, where he quotes the Medrash Hashirim Rabbah and other Midrashim also, that already in the days of the Tanoim, many of the Midas had been lost. In the days of the Amoraim, they knew what they were, but they didn't know how they functioned. In the days of the Rishonim, we mentioned, a lot of times you have a Taisus and Menachas as Zvachim. So Taisus says, where did the Tanoim get to? Where did they get this din from? What's the source of the din? The Gemara doesn't spell out the source of all the din. So Taisus is guessing, so they construct, maybe it's based on this and that and the other thing. Very often, you look in the back of the Gemara and Achrayim, they'll say that what Tosfos guessed is not correct. Look on the Torah's Kadim, it's based on a different pasuk, based on a different drasha. Tosfos didn't have not all the Balei HaTosfos had access to the Torah's Kohanim. So a lot of times they're guessing what the marker for the din could possibly be. As the generations went on, so the Midrash HaTorah and the Jesses Behem were lost. The Gemara Mechares in the first parak says that one of the Tanoim went to Athens and had a debate with the philosophers of Athens, and they were talking about scientific issues, and he would figure out how long is the pregnancy of a snake, based on Midrash HaTorah and the Jesses Behem, the Parshas Bereishis. The Gemara tells you that Baruch Hashem created all the different animals, so they applied, we don't know, the later Tanoim didn't know how to do that. The Amoraim didn't know how to do the Midrash HaTorah and the Jesses Behem in Halacha, let alone in science, how to figure out scientific information based on Midrash HaTorah and the Jesses Behem on Parshas Bereishis. So as the years went on, much of this was lost. So these are two of the more famous Midas of the Rambam, several of them. The first of the 14 Sharoshim, the original translation of the Sefer HaMitzvah, was written in Arabic. So then it was translated during the days of the Rambam, I think, it was translated into Hebrew. So it's not such a gewaldig Hebrew. So he calls now when they translate it, so they call it the 14 Klolim, the 14 guiding principles. When they originally translated, they call it the 14 Sharoshim. Why do you use the word Sharoshim? The 14 klal. So the first klal that the Rambam writes, you only include in the Hayag mitzvahs deraisa. You don't include mitzvahs derabon. The second klal, he says, you only include dinim that are mefurish Torah shebitzav. You don't include the rushes of Torah shebapeh because that is ein ledavosof. It doesn't mean it's a lower level. It means ein ledavosof. In every generation, the Rambam Meshitasa holds that the dinim in every generation have the right to apply the midas and come up with new dinim. So you're not going to have Taryag Mitzvahs. Then you have the Shorish Tess, is the very famous Shorish in the Rambam, about Kefala Mitzvah. If you have a Mitzvah repeated several times, so you only count it once in Sefer HaMitzvahs. So the third Shorish is also, we'll get to it later, the third Shorish in the 14 Shoroshim is also a very important one. We spoke on different occasions about there's a Tosfos in Gittin in the first parak, where Tosfos writes that if you have a din in the Gemara that lechatchila it's also, but you have it, it's mutter. Let's say if you have a treifa kli that has the blia was absorbed in the kli over 24 hours ago, so the blia that's sitting in the charsis hagdera in the metal or the earthenware pot. So the charsis hagdera, the metal or the earthenware, will do a job on it. And if it sits there for 24 hours, it'll become nice and tam levgam. Whatever you're going to cook, whatever soup you're going to cook in this pot after 24 hours, will not taste as good as it would have if it wouldn't have had this blia from the treifa blia, because treifa blia is poigam imiktsas. It takes away a little bit from the flavor. The soup will be edible, it'll be delicious, but it would have even tasted better if it wouldn't have had this treifa blia v'ena ben yoyma. So the din is lechatchili, not allowed to cook in the kli she'ena ben yoyma. But b'dieved, if you did cook, and the kli hadn't been used for treifas in the last 24 hours, so then the din is that b'dieved it's kosher. So Tosfos says, whenever you have a din, lechatchila like this and b'dieved like that, it's a dead giveaway that it's only the rabban. On the level of the rice, so let's say a get, lechatchila the get should have been, so Tosfos in Gittin. The lechatchila the get should get supposed to have zman. Supposed to write the date. And b'dieved, if you already get without a date, so b'dieved, it'll be kosher. Ein avlad mamzer. B'dieved, it'll be kosher. So Tosfos says it's a dead giveaway that it's only a din derabbanan. If it would have been a din deraisa, so then it would have been miyakev even b'dieved. Whenever you have a difference between the chatchid and b'dieved, it's only midirabbanan. So, but we were learning when we learned the mitzvahs chalitza, so we pointed out there's a Tosfos in the end of Nido and Samach Vav on the base, where Tosfos modifies it a little bit, not exactly the way it says in the Tosfos in Gittin. Tosfos says when it comes to mitzvahs, like chalitza is a mitzvah. Chalitza is not just a matir, chalitza is a mitzvah. Many achrayim hold, even if the woman's not interested in remarrying, it's still a mitzvah to go through chalitza. And even some achrayim disagree. They say it's only a mitzvah to do chalitza when she's interested in remarrying. But it's a mitzvah to perform chalitza. Why we don't say a bracha is a discussion. If it's a mitzvah, how come you don't say a bracha? When you give a get, you don't say a bracha. That's not a mitzvah. A get is a matzah. There's no mitzvah to divorce your wife. But the chalitza is considered a mitzvah. So Tosfos says, how do you know that it's a mitzvah? Because l'chatchil you need three parts. You need chalitza, a sandal to take off the shoe. Then you need rikika, she should spit on the floor in front of the yavam, the yorka b'fanav. And then you need kriyas ha'psukim. She says, mayan yivamil hakam shem liyachiv. And he says, lo chavatzti lekachto. Then she says, after the chalitza, zolo b'kachi yasal ish, and so on. So the din is, we paskin, the din is b'dieved, the kriyas ha'psukim is not miyakev, and the rikika is not miyakev. The only thing that's miyakev is the chalitza ha'sandal. So it's not miyakev b'dieved, so what do you need it l'chatchila? That's a din d'oraisa. That's not a din d'rabbanan. So the answer Tosfos says is by mitzvahs you have a mitzvah b'shleimusa and a mitzvah shalav b'shleimusa. Let's say tzitzis. The mitzvah b'shleimusa is to have tchelis and lavan. If you have all the strings are tchelis, all the strings are lavan. So it's a machlokes hatanoim. We paskin like the shita that b'dieved yoytze, but it's only a mitzvah shalav b'shleimusa. So there you have a din. Or let's say a korban chatos. So korban chatos he's supposed to do zrika on four karnas on his back, all the four corners. But the Eved is a machlekes b'sham and b'sil. But the Eved we pass like b'silo. One zrika is ma'akeh b'Eved. So what do you need all the four lechatchila? So that's there's a mitzvah b'shleimusa and a mitzvah shalom b'shleimusa. So in the area of mitzvahs, you can't talk about lechatchila and b'Eved on the level of deraisa. But in the area of a matir, if you're talking about an iser, iser v'heta, you're not talking about a mitzvah. So there, Tosfos klal applies that you can't. It doesn't make sense to have a. Lechatchila, it's awesome, but yebed, it's mutta. It's mutta, but yebed, it's mutta, lechatchila. Why should it be awesome, lechatchila? It must be that it's only midirabbanim. That's it, lechatchila, you have to write zman in the get, you have to write the date. And but yebed, if you write a get without the date, so but yebed, the vlad will not, if she'll marry someone else, ain't a vlad mamza. So that's a dead giveaway that it's only midirabbanim. Because get is not a mitzvah, get is a matir. So if you have a requirement, lechatchila, so that's only midirabbanan. That's not going to be their ice. So that's an interesting claw. There is a big discussion in philosophers about tami hamitzvahs. The Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim and the third chelik of the Mor Nevuchim talks a lot about it. The tami hamitzvah. So once in a long while, the Chumash gives you the reason for the mitzvah. Matzah, Morer, and Karban Pesach, the Torah gives you the reason. The Torah gives you a reason. But most of the mitzvahs, the Torah doesn't give you a reason. So the Chachamim give reasons. The Gemara talks, why is there a difference between a ganav and a gazlan? That the ganav, you have penalties, he pays kefil, and the gazlan doesn't pay kefil. And if the ganav does tovach u'machar, he shechts the shor v'seh, or he sells it to someone else, he pays not only kefil, he pays Dalit v'hei, he pays Karen and Kefil and another two times, another three times, more than the value of the thing. And Gazan doesn't have any of these penalties. So the Gemara gives you a logical explanation. Why is Chamisha Bokrim Shon Tachas Hashav, Arbetzon Tachas Haseh? Why is this five? Why is this four? So the Gemara gives reasons, and then you look, the Rambam and the Sefer Achinuch and the Arizal, and all the Chassidish Svarim, they give Tamei HaMitzvahs. Tamei HaMitzvahs is a chelik of Talmud Torah. We have to learn all the dinim. You're supposed to learn which are the 613 mitzvahs. And to learn all the details in order to know how to observe all of the mitzvahs. So included in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not only to learn all the dinim, it's to learn Tamei HaMitzvahs, to try to suggest explanations. What moral, ethical, or religious principle is the Torah driving at or trying to teach us by the Rebbe Shalom giving us this mitzvah? So that everybody agrees to that. But there is a machlokes hatanaim in the end of Bab Metzia, whether dashin in time in the Kro, or loy dashin in time in the Kro. So the Minchas Chinuch, every 70 pages or so, will quote this Tosfos in Gittin. The Tosfos says the only time there's a machlokes hatanaim, whether dashin in time in the Kro, loy dashin, and it means when the reason for the mitzvah is going to regulate the application of the mitzvah. Because this is the reason, so in certain cases, you're going to argue the point and say the mitzvah doesn't apply. To try to figure out time of the Kro, the reason for, that's a chelik of Talmud Torah. What moral, ethical, or religious principles is they're trying to teach us? But to say that the Tamei HaMitzvah are one of the Midrash HaTorah and the Reshes, Darshin and time of the Kro, Is it one of the midas? And whenever the reason doesn't apply, that the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. So that's the machlokes hatanan. We pass from loydashi in the time of the Krah. Reb Shimon bar Yochai is the one. Reb Shimon bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar, is the one that says dashi in the time of the Krah. And we don't pass him like that. And the end of Bab Metzia, the Gemara has, there's a pasuk chumash la'sach vol beged almana. If you lent money to an almana and you want to take a mashkin, she may never pay back the money. So you only want to give her the alvor, and she's going to give me a mashkin. So what? So the Torah says you're not allowed to take as a mashkin from an almana a dress, beged almana. Why? Such a strange and obscure din. So the Gemara says the reason why. Who's borrowing money? Probably a poor almana. Never, she doesn't have any money. She's a poor woman. So if you want to take a mashkin for her, so she's probably going to give it. She may give you the one and only dress that she has. So you have to, the din is that you have to give back to Ksus Yom Bayom. If you have a mashkin of pajamas, you have to give it back by Laila, if the loiva needs it. If you have a Ksus Yom, you have to give it back by Yom. So let's say the poor almana only has one set of pajamas, he only has one dress to wear. So the man lends her money, and he wants a mashkin, so she gives him the pajamas that she doesn't. She has a job, she makes a few dollars in the daytime, and then she's going to call him up 11:30 at night, she wants her pajamas back. But he says, I want a mashkin, so she says she'll give him the dress that she wears all day long. So then he's going to come to her home at 11:45 at night, and he's going to give her back her pajamas, but she's undressed on the other side of the door. So she opens up the door, a crack in the door just 2 inches, and she gives out the dress, and he gives her in the pajamas. Then in the morning, she calls him up. She has to get dressed. She needs her dress back. So he wants a mashkin, so she's going to give him back the pajamas. So she stands undressed behind the door. She's going to give him out the pajamas. He's going to give her back the dress. So the neighbors are going to see every day. The rich man is visiting the almana's home. And he's bringing her pajamas, and he's walking away with the dress. What's going on? So Mistama, he's giving her money. He's having an affair with the woman. So the Gemara says, "Atam Asiya Shem Rabbi Shchina Seho." That's probably the reason why the Torah prohibits Losachvol Beged Almoni. You're not allowed to take as a mashkin begodim from an almoni. So what if the almoni is Mrs. Macy's and Mrs. Gimbel's, and she's borrowing $1 million and she's giving you 5,000 dresses from the store as a mashkin, not giving her one and only dress, her one and only pajamas. It is not going to. The issue won't come up. This chashash won't come up. She's not going to ask for the 10,000 dresses back in the morning and the evening. It's not going to happen. He's going to hold on to the mashkin. So the whole reason for the din doesn't apply. So Reb Shimon is of the opinion that almana ashira, memashkin emosa. If she's a rich almana, and the whole reason for the din, the safal beggar almana, doesn't apply. If she's an ashira, so then the whole prohibition doesn't apply. And we pass on loy dashi in the time of the Krah. The time of the Krah is a chelik of Talmud Torah. But it's not from the Midrash HaTorah that Rashi explained that it should regulate the application of the din. So that's in the Machlokes L'Safal Beged Almana. We discussed there's a pasuk in Chumash that says Ki Yish Chet Mishpat Mavis for Humas, if someone deserved the death penalty and the Bezim put him to death. So it says Kavatik Berenim Bayamahu. You have to bury him on the same day. Kikilos Alekim Tolik. Because it's a bizoyan. Man was created b'tzalim alkim, but eisol abanim amokim. So it's a bizoyan. So you have to bury mishum kavar abis. You have to bury on the same day. So the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, in the middle of Sanhedrin, daf mem vav. So it says, most of the time the funerals do not take place the same day that the person dies. My father died one day of the week, then the funeral was the next day. Most of the time, someone dies one day and you want to call up the relatives. The relatives live far away, live in Eretz Yisrael. You want to wait till the children come, till they notify all the people in the community, in the shul. But most of the time, the people are not buried on the same day. Years ago, you couldn't fly from Eretz Yisrael overnight, and you can't get more people. You have no telephones. You're not going to be able to notify too many people. So it wasn't that common. It was a common thing that people would be buried on the same day. But by today, it's very uncommon that a person should be buried on the same day. So the Achrenim are bothered with the Kasha. The Mishnah says, Hey, l'neu l'chvodo. If they were male in his hameis, l'shem kavod hameis, ain't over all of them. Then you're not in violation of the din, l'sol in the los alheis. You're not in violation of halonis hameis. So some achreinim are bothered with the kasha, but we pass galoi dashin and time of the crow. Here you're saying, the whole reason why you're not allowed to leave over the meis is because of kavod abrius. He's leaving over the meis to the next day in order to enhance the kavod hameis, in order to get more people to attend. You want to have You want to have a nicer aura, and you want to play. They used to play music at funerals when they used to deliver hespedim, so they want to play the music. They bring chalilim and so on. So how can the Mishnah say that it's mutar l'holanus ameis if you have a ner l'chvodo? Is not a violation of the way we pasken lo dashin in time of the cross. So the Achranim say that that's a mistake in kasha. The Minchas Aluza quotes this kasha. He said that's a mistake in kasha, because the Gemara says in the second parak in Sanhedrin, whenever the Chumash writes the mitzvah, and it writes right next to the mitzvah, gives the reason. Like over here, it says sol in the belas al heitz ki kila la salakim talui. Because man was created b'tzelem alakim b'neisa abanim lamakim, and it's a design, it's a violation of kavan ameis. So it says in the Chumash that the reason for the mitzvah, we're not making it up, we're not guessing on our own. It says in the Chumash the reason. So the Gemara says in the second parak and says, hey, whenever you have a pasuk in the Chumash that has an avera or a mitzvah, and it says the reason for it, then everybody agrees dashid in time of the cross. The Torah says the reason for the mitzvah. The ganze machlekes hatanaim is only if it doesn't say beferish in the Chumash the reason for the mitzvah. But the Chachamim have the right to establish what the reason is. So that time of the krod that we suggest on our own, that's also from the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpam, and it regulates the application of the mitzvah, and whenever the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah doesn't apply, or no. So then we pass loy dashin in time of the krod. But whenever the Chumash has beferish, does apply. Abadim say dashin. The Gemara has it in Sanhedrin in the second paragraph. It says, Le'abala Nashim, the Melech is not allowed to marry more than 18 wives, but Le'yosir es Levavoy. Because we're afraid he's going to marry too many wives, it's going to cause him to sin. He's going to be too involved with the wives, and it's going to cause him to sin. So one Tana is of the opinion, what if he has 18 wives, and then he marries the valedictorian of Beis Yankov? The Hebrew valedictorian, the most religious girl in the whole Beis Yankov. So what are you going to say? Liosos Levava, she's going to keep him on a straight and narrow path. He's going to be keeping mitzvahs because of her. So it's not going to lead him to sin. So one Tana says the mutter. If he marries the unusual tzaddikus as wife number 19, that would be permissible. Because the Torah says the reason. And the other Tana disagrees for a different reason. He said that Le'asos Le'avah is not the reason for Le'arbel Anoshim. Le'arbel Anoshim, semicolon. There's one love. Not allowed to have more than 18 wives. Then Le'asos Le'avah is another love. He's not allowed to marry one girl if she's not from. The Melech is not allowed to marry one girl. Le'asos Le'avah, a separate love. It's a machlekes. How do you punctuate the pasuk? Is it one sentence or is it a semicolon in between? They're really two different sentences, two different lavim. But if it would have been, if that were the pshat and the pasuk, Le'asos Le'avah is the time of the krah, then all the Tanaim would have agreed. Dashin, the time of the krah. You're not making it up on your own. The Chumash gives you the reason.
So when do we say Lord Plug?
Lord Plug most of the time is on Dirim Derabbanan. When the Chachamim make a Gzeira Derabbanan for a certain reason, so if they would have said the Gzeira only applies when there's a Chashash. Whenever there's no Chashash, it doesn't apply. So every time Dick and Harry will say, I'm not an idiot, I'm intelligent, I'll know to be careful, I'll be careful not to violate Aver, and I don't need the Harchoke. And then he is going to fall in. So they didn't want that each person should decide on his own whether the reason applies to him or not. So they said, Lord Plug Rabbanan, even if you think that you're so intelligent and your field where you work, the way you run business, this chashash doesn't apply. Or you live in a generation where the chashash doesn't apply. You live in a country where the chashash doesn't apply. So the Midi Rabbanan, on the Rabbanan, they say, Lord Plug Rabbanan. There are rare cases. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a long essay about this. He quotes cases even on the level of deraisa that you also say loy plug. But that's a chiddush, that even in dinam deraisa also sometimes they say loy plug. Usually the lashon is loy plug rabbanon. When the chachamim made gzera derabbanon, they said the gzera should apply in all cases, even though the chashash doesn't apply. But Rabbi Yosef Engel has rare cases that you apply loy plug to dinam deraisa as well. Then we have an issue. The Tanaim had an issue.
Back to the Almana case. So if the reason is that people will be suspicious that they're having an affair, so then the Torah should have also prohibited for a woman who was never married before. What's so special about the Almana? Let's say a woman who's never married.
They didn't have, in the days of the Tanakh, they didn't have such a single zisha like we have today. Everybody was married. Unfortunately, they had almanas. But they didn't have, they were marrying off the girls before bas mitzvah. If the girl was a yesayma, she's only 11 years old. She didn't want to be an old maid. So her mother would marry her off. Everybody got married at a young age. Today, nobody gets married so young. So we have, in our generation, we have a lot of single women. In the days of the Tanakh, apparently the only single women were almanas. All the single girls got married at a younger age. Yeah. Then the Gemara has an issue. How do you deal with the Kri Yoksiv? Yeah.
If everyone agrees to the time of the Krav, what was the time of Shlomo HaMelech? He said, I'll marry him. Is that one of the exceptions to the Lo Plug?
No. That... One Tana holds that you're allowed to marry an extra wife if she's an unusual tzaddikus. Shlomo Melech's extra wife was not a special tzaddikus. He just thought that the whole prohibition doesn't apply to him. He's intelligent, doesn't apply. And the din is that it is a loy plug deraisa. It is a loy plug. There is also a loy plug deraisa. We're afraid if he'll have more than 18 wives, it's going to divert his attention from Yerushalmai, from Shmiras HaMitzvahs. Yeah. Yeah. Then the Gemara has an issue, how do you deal with the Kriya and Iksiv? Every so often you have a Pasuk, the Iksiv is one way and the Kriya is a different way. So sometimes it's a major difference. So how do you paskin? Do you paskin Halacha L'maisa like the Kriya or like the Iksiv? So Tosis writes in Sanhedrin on Dav Dalet, there's a whole sugya Dalet, and Manalav Dalet on the base. The Gemara has case after case after case, the Machlekes HaTanaim, whether you paskin like the Iksiv or like the Kriya. The Gemara calls it Yeshem LaMikra or Yeshem LaMasoris. Masoris means the Masoretic text, the Ksiv, and Yeshem LaMikra means the Kri. You follow the Kri. So Tosis explains, the only time there's a Machlokes HaTanaim is when there's a conflict that can't be resolved. But if you have a Kri and a Ksiv, and you can develop the nature of the din by incorporating both into the Halacha, so Matov, everybody agrees you do like that. You include both. So take, for example, the Gemara has a din we all learned in elementary school, that there are only four categories of things that are mekabel tumah, other mekelim, ochel mamashkin. So ochel maroni mekabel tumah if it had heksha mashkin, if you poured one of the zayin mashkin on it. So the Gemara says, but what if it rains on it? Let's say I have a bushel of apples. When the apples grow on the tree, it's always raining on the tree, but when it's mechubel lekarka, when the apples are growing on the tree, they're not mekabel tumah, and they're not mekabel hechsher either. So I pluck off the apples from the tree, they're dry. Then I go to sleep, and it rains at night. I didn't know that it rained at night. When I wake up in the morning, I hear the news that it was raining the whole night long. By the time I hear the news, the apples are dry already. So the Gemara says that's not, if it's raining by itself, and I know at the time that it's raining, that my apples are getting washed off, they're getting clean, because the rain is taking off some of the dirt, not all the dirt, some of the dirt. So that's yutan duimet de yitan. Yutan mayim azar. Yutan means it happened by itself. And yitan means you pour the water on. So there's a kriya ksiv. The word is pronounced yutan, but it's written chumash without a vav. So the ksiv is really yitan, and the kriya is kiyutan mayim azara. So the Gemara has a drosha, you put the both together, the kriya with the ksiv together. Yutan duimet de yitan, my yitan de nichale. Of Yutan de Nichalei. Oh, the Gemara has in the first daf in Chagiga, there's a din of Aliyah leRegel. Yeroi calls Zechurcha and Shalosh Regolim, the Jewish men, after Bar Mitzvah, have to visit the Azorah, have to bring Korban Oil Asriya, leYeroi Fonai Reikam. So the Gemara takes Shalosh Shvam Roshana, Yeroi calls Zechurcha. So the word is spelled Yud Resh Aleph Hey, and the Kri is Yeroi. If you wouldn't have Nekudas and just see the letters Yud, Reish, Aleph, Hey, you could read it Yire. Even though there is no difference in the spelling, it's the same spelling. So the Gemara considers that also an example of a Kri and a Ksiv. The Gemara says the Ksiv is Yire, and the Kri is Yeira'eh. So we say Yeira'eh dum yed de Yire. Just like the Rabbanu Shalolan comes to see us with both of his eyes, so too we should come to see the Rabbanu Shalolan with both of our eyes, Yira Yeroi. Yederach Shebo Leroi is just like we appear before the Shechina. He's looking at us with both of his eyes, so too, Yira Kol Zchorcha. We should see whatever there is to see in the Beis Hamikdash with two eyes. So one Tana is of the opinion, Machlokes on the first daf in Chagiga, the Summa Be'ein Achas, where he's Chayv and Ali Ola Regel. So one Tana holds Potter because Yadarshan, the Kri and the Ksiv together. Yira Yeroa Kadach. So in other words, so that's what Tosh says. Whenever you can develop the Psak Halacha, that it should be a combination of the Kri and the Ksiv, then everybody agrees you establish a din like that. Whenever it's an outright conflict, either you're Paskin like the Ksiv or like the Kri, so then it's a machlokes hatana. Whether you say Yeshem la Mikra, you should paskin like the Kri, or you should paskin like the Ksiv, Yeshem la Masoris. So the question is, when there is a conflict, and you paskin either A or B, Yeshem la Mikra, Yeshem la Masoris. So how come there's the other one? Let's say if you paskin like the Ksiv, how come the Kri is Fakeret? If you paskin like the Kri, so why is the Ksiv Fakeret? So you have to figure out, the Gemara never discusses that. If there's a case where most of the time you cannot develop a din, combining both the Kri and the Ksiv together, you've got to take a stand. So once you take a stand, so how come the Rabban Shalom told us to make a Kri and a Ksiv? If you have a Sefer Torah and you wrote the word the way it's supposed to be according to the Kri, the Sefer Torah will be puzzle. The Gemara says, Kri and Ksiv is Allah al Moshe Messina. You have to write it according to what the Ksiv is supposed to be, and you're supposed to lay it according to what the Kri is supposed to be. Let's say you're going to write, it says in the Chumash, Yish Galeno. And the Kri is Yish Kaveno, more because of the Galosha. So if you're going to write Yish Kaveno in the Sefer Torah will be possible. Whenever you have a Kri Ksiv, if you write according to the Kri, not the Ksiv, it'll be possible. Let's say the Minchas Chim, the Achrenim have a Sofek. What if you have, let's say, the word Na'ara? Most of the time it's spelled in Chumash, Nun Ayin Reish. Once in a while it has a Hey, most of the time it's missing a Hey. So the Achrenim are not sure, is that a Kri or Ksiv? And if you spell the Nun Ayin Resh Hey, the Sefer Torah will be Pasul. Oh no, that's not a Kri or Ksiv. There are two valid ways to write the word not in Biblical Hebrew. You can spell the word with a Hey or without a Hey. Maybe it's not a Kri or Ksiv. According to the way we pass on the Sefer Torah, has an extra letter is Pasul. So Sam is going to be Pasul. That's what the Rambam writes like that. Yitra Isachas, the Ramban and the Hakdam to Chumash quotes that from the Zohar. That doesn't say in the Gemara. That's in the Zohar. If Sefer Torah Shechaser Isachas or Yitra Isachas, does state in the Gemara. That the Ramam got that from the Zohar.
Right. No. I think in the Indian Egla Rufa, with the
Kenim
say,
Yadenu
Moshavchu, I think it did the Kareem Sivan Shavcha.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the Siv. The Kri is Shavku, the Nenu
is Shavku. That's a Dhamma Zeh.
But the Ksav is
Shavku. Yeah, every so often there's a Kri Ksiv. So that for sure, if you write the way the Kri is, you didn't write according to the Ksiv, Sefer Torah will be possible. The Minchas Chinuch has this, he writes, half of the Sefer Torah in the world, there's a din of Tzuadaka, his possible of the Bekom. Tzuadaka means a man, Jewish man, who has a pegam in the Eva Haleda, and he can't have any children. So he's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. He can marry a Gioris, but he can't marry a regular Jewish girl. So there are two ways to spell Kruz, Patsuadaka, Dalet Chafei or Dalet Chafalef. So the Sfardim have one way, and the Ashkenazim have another way. So the Shalit, how can you learn Kriyas HaTorah? The Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah, you only say Brocha on Kriyas HaTorah if it's a kosher or Sefer Torah. The Rambam in the Tshuva writes not so. He says the meaning was in Spain that he used to learn Kriyas HaTorah from a non-kosher Sefer Torah. And B'dievid, we rely on the Rambam. Let's say the Balkari finished half the Sedra, they find a mistake, so we take on the new Sefer Torah, we learn from there to the end. We don't learn over everything. So the Beis Yosef quotes from Ari Abuab, from his Rebbe, that B'dievid, we rely on the Tshuvas HaRambam, but L'chatchila you don't. So the Shaila is, how does anybody ever learn? If Sefer Torah has Chosar HaSachas, is possible, every Sefer Torah is a suffix, whether it's kosher or not. So a duck, you don't know whether the correct spelling is an aleph or a hey. So all the Sefer Torah is suffix kosher, suffix possible. How can you learn Kriyas HaTorah with a brocha? Everybody should learn without a brocha. So the Menachas Chinuch comes up with a suggestion to question whether he's correct, but the Achranim say we got no choice. So we rely on the Menachas Chinuch. Comes up with a suggestion. He says that both spellings are correct. Tzodaka with an aleph is the way you spell it in Aramaic. Tzodaka with a hey is the way you write it in Hebrew. So both spellings are correct according to the dictionary. The only question is, what is the Masorah? What is the tradition? So he says, if you misspelled Noach mit sieben Greisen, let's say you said Noach, he put a final nun. He put a chaf instead of a ches. So you put Noach, nun, vav, yud, aleph, chaf, whatever. That's mamnish a mistake. You made a mistake, so the Sefer Torah is possible. But let's say you wrote Moshe, Aharon. In Israeli newspapers, they always write everything Molly because they don't have the kudus. So they always spell Aharon, aleph, hey, resh, vav, nun. So everybody can read it. So let's say in the Sefer Torah, Aharon is usual. I don't know if it's ever spelled Molly. Normally it's spelled Chosef. So if you write the word Aharon Molly, so the Menhaschinach has a chiddush, the Sefer Torah won't be possible. L'chor, it's against the Rambam and the Ramban. Sefer Torah, Yitarei Sachas is possible. So he thinks, Yitarei Sachas means if it doesn't belong there. But here it's a correct spelling. It's not the correct spelling according to the Masorah, but it's a correct spelling according to a dictionary. That's a correct way to write the word. He says the only time it'll be possible is if you have a kriya ksiv. If you have a kriya ksiv, then the Gemara says halacha moshe misina, so the Sefer Torah will be possible. So the later, the Minchas Chinuch died 100 years ago. So the later Gdolim HaMesupik, what about Na'ara? Is Na'ara called a kriya ksiv? And if you're going to spell Nunayin Reish Hei instead of Nunayin Reish, the whole Sefer Torah will be possible. Or you say, no, there are two ways to spell the word Na'ara, biblical Hebrew. So it wouldn't possibly ever there either.
Didn't the Rama already say earlier there would not be Kiyin in Chaseros and Yeseros?
Yeah, yeah.
Earlier than the
Minchas Chinuch. Yeah. It's an issue. That's a question with that Rama. Yeah, we once spoke about it. Rama Soloveitchik thought he shouldn't follow many, he said he shouldn't follow that Rama. That's a serious question. Yeah.
In the way of Kiryat Ksiv, so you're not really reading from the Sefer Torah, that word, because it's not written, so you're reading it.
Okay.
But that's not a problem.
That's not a problem. What is a question is,
look at the word when you read the Kiryat
Ksiv. Do you have to look at the word? That's the question. Do you have to look at the word? Let's say there's wax fell on the Sefer Torah and Yishgalena is covered over, you can't read it. So it's really a kri velo ksiv, and it's a ksiv velo kri. The ksiv you don't read. When it says yutan mayim alzer, you're reading the word. Yutan is just missing a vav. When you write yero ekos kruchi, you're reading the word. So that kri ksiv, you have to look at the word. But what if it says yishgalena, instead you say yishgalena. So then you don't gain anything by looking at the word. That's a shaila one. It says yud ke vav ke, and you pronounce it aleph dala nun yud. Sometimes you Hashem alakim. Yud ke vav ke, you pronounce it alakim. So you have to look at the yud ke vav ke. This is the correct pronunciation of the yud ke vav ke. Or no, you're replacing the word with a different word. It's a ksiv alo kri, and it's a kriv alo ksiv. In Megillas Rus, you have a few times a ksiv alo kri and a kriv alo ksiv. So that's Velvela has a discussion of that, whether when you say Aleph Dalam Nun Yud instead of Yud Kei Vodka, when you say Elokim, is that a Ksiv Elokri and a Kriv Elokri? But they say, no, that's the correct pronunciation of Yud Kei Vodka. He has an Afkemina from Megadev, he has an essay from the Rambam. That's a discussion. An important topic in learning Torah is the following, the Nitziv. We must have mentioned it more than one occasion, the Nitziv in his commentary on Chumash, the very end of Chumash, Vayikra discusses the institution of Maisa Behema. The farmer had a lot of sheep born in his herd in the course of the year. If he has 10 or more sheep born in a herd, so he has to put them together in a corral, have a narrow exit, and have them go out one by one. You count 1 to 10, and the 10th one, Asir Yir Kodesh Lashem. You makrif in the Beis HaMikdash as a Kochim Kalim. So who gets to eat it? Never says. Do you give it to the Kohanim, to Levim, or do you keep it? So Rashi writes on Chumash, and Rashi writes on the Mishnayos and Zvachim. There is no Chumash, there is no Pasuk that says you give it to the Kohanim, so it's understood, the farmer keeps it on his own. And this is in disagreement with many of the Gaonim, who are of the opinion that Maisa Behema is from the Matnas Kohuna. The Gemara says that there are 24 Matnas Kohuna, at the end of Chulin, says that there are 12 Chof Dalad Matnas Kohuna, but there are more than 24, so obviously the Gemara is combining a few together under one. So that's a big machlekes. Which ones are they combining together and which ones are separate? So in that, there are a few opinions. So in that discussion and that debate, how are you combining? So the Goyim came up with their opinion that Maisa Behemah is one of the 24 Matan's Klum. So that's a machlokes. Rashi disagrees with the Goyim. Rashi holds, it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara, it doesn't say anywhere in Mishnayis or in Tanakh that you give Maisa Behemah to the Goyim. So the Netziv, in his commentary on Chumash, at the end of B'chu Kaisai, where it says, last week's Kriya in B'chu Kaisai, so the Netziv says there's a Beferish Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim that says that when they brought the Maisa Behemah to the Beis HaMikdash, they gave it to the Kohanim. So it doesn't say Beferish, that it's a Matnas Kahuna. So how does Rashi deal with the Pasuk? Rashi said, doesn't say anywhere. So he comes up with the Chiddush. He says he learned in Valojin before his Bar Mitzvah. Then he stayed there until the end of his life. He was Valojin lasted for 90 years, from 1802 to 1892. And then the Tziv was the Rosh Hashiva the last 39 years. That's a long time. He was Rosh Hashiva the last, he was the fundraiser and he gave the Shurim in Valojin for 39 years. So he writes, he came to the Yeshiva before his Bar Mitzvah. Rav Chaim Valojin is no longer alive, but they had, David Tebel was alive. He quotes things that he heard. David Tebel was in Nachman's David. He heard things from Rav Chaim Valojin. He gave Shurim in Valojin during the lifetime of Rav Chaim Valojin. He was invited by Rav Chaim Valojin to give Shurim. So he says in the yeshiva was Yodua, b'shem the Gro, that even though the obligation to eat matzah is only the first night of Pesach, but if you eat matzah the rest of Pesach, there's a kiyum mitzvah. There's such a thing as a kiyum essay without a chiyum essay. There are people alive today, Talmid HaChacham, who say, the Vilna Gaon never said it, it can't be, there is no such thing. The word mitzvah means mitzvah. You're obligated. If you're not obligated, it can't be a mitzvah. The word mitzvah doesn't mean a good deed. I did my mitzvah for the day. I helped the old lady walk across the street. I carried her packs on me. That's not, the mitzvah doesn't mean a good deed. Mitzvah means you're mitzvah. So those Talmid HaChacham in our generation, they say, it can't be, the Vilna Gaon never said. So the Netziv says, he came to Valojin at a very young age, before Bar Mitzvah, and it was Yoduan Valojin, that's what the Vilna Gaon said. So based on that, he feels free to farem for the kasha. It says in Divrei HaYomim that they gave the Maisa Behemah to the Kohanim, and Rashi claims there's no such obligation, there is no such din, it's not from the Chof Talad Matan Skuna. So he says, there's no Chiyah, but it's a Kiyah Messah. There's such a thing as a Kiyah Messah. And then he comes up, another Tzushtal, he thinks, the Gemara has in Bava Mitzian Da Peches, Aser Tassas Kaltua Zarecha, Hayotzi Asad Shana Shana, how come it says Zarecha? Only if the tvua, only if the tevel grew on your farm, then you mechuyev ben haTorah to be mafrish trumas and maizus. If it's lakuach, if you bought the food, the peris or the tvua from someone else, the chiyev haprashas trumas and maizus is only midirabban. Lakuach is only midirabban. So the Netziv has a chiddush, and he writes, he thinks lakuach the chiyev is only midirabban, but if you mafrish it, it's chal men haTorah. Even though there's no chiyev, it's chal men haTorah. Somehow Rabbi Elvila never heard of that, so he rediscovered America, and he comes up with that chiddush and shiurim on Amenochas, that if you have lakuach and you're mafresh, he thinks that afrosh is chal min haTorah, the chiv to be mafresh is only midrabanan, but the chalois is a chalois min haTorah. So the Netziv wrote it as a big chiddush. He starts off with the Vilna, he heard as a child in the name of the Vilna Gaon, such a thing is a mitzvah so shus, even though you're not mechuyev, there's a kiyum deraisa. Rav Soloveitchik didn't feel compelled to bring any proofs. He would say this every month in Donishtik. On every other Gemara, he would say, there's a Kiyam Deraisa, there's a Kiyam Deraisa. Even things that there's no Chiyav, there's a Kiyam Deraisa. Many times he would say.
Because of Neder, if he gives it, it's like a kind of Neder, it's Deraisa.
It's Deraisa not to violate the Neder, but has he fulfilled the mitzvah? He didn't violate the Neder that. But is there, let's say a person takes a neder, he's not going to go to the Shviga's 100th birthday party. She's 100 years old, he's not going to go. So he doesn't go. So he was Mekayim HaMitzvah, not Mekayim HaMitzvah. He didn't violate the Aveda. Kol HaYetz MePiv Yaseh is an Iser essay. It's not a Mitzvah essay that he should. He took a neder,
like,
not.
It's like a korban. It's a neder for a korban. So he gives it to the Kohen. So that's in the mitzvah.
Oh, let's say I buy 10 cans of tomato juice, and then I give one can to the Kohanim. There's no kiyum mitzvah there. He said by Maisa Behemah, he's Mechadish. Maisa Behemah, if you give one out of every 10, then there's a kiyum deraisa. That's a chiddush.
Did Maisa Behemah it says the Yishim Yisrael Eshes Bo Vishlucho. There's no mitzvah for a woman in Puravu. There's no mitzvah for a woman in Puravu. But she's the Sayel Abala, so she's Makai in the mitzvah. So it's a mitzvah kiyumis.
Okay, good, good. So you think there are more cases? Good. There's such a Ravid. The Ravid learned Becharusa with the Balamor. So each one has Asagas on the other one Sefer. So the Balamor has on all of Shas, and the Ravid has comments. The Sefer is called Kosov Sham. When they print it, every paragraph begins Kosov Sham. The Balamor writes this, and he disagrees. If it's good, he says, he stole it from me. Gone from me, he writes. And if he doesn't agree, he says it's wrong. He attacks him. And the Balamor wrote Hasogas on the Balei HaNefesh. The Rabbi wrote a Sefer on the laws of Taras HaMashpach and Hilchos Mikvah. So the Balamor has Hasogas on his Sefer. So with a manuscript that they printed around 80 years ago, whatever, 90 years ago, I don't know, they found a manuscript that the Kosov Sham by the Rabbi. The manuscript doesn't go to the end of Chulin. I don't think they found the last part. But in the Sefer Kafta Beferach, which was written in the days of the Rishonim, there was an Aliyah of Balei HaTosfos who went to Eretz Yisrael. So one of them wrote the Sefer Kafta Beferach all about Inyani Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, what the borders are and so on, what the dinim are. So he quotes the Kosov Sham at the end of Chulin, which we don't have any other source for, that the Ravid writes, even though in Torah the obligation to be Machiz, Shumas, and Maisis only applies, with the Ravid it only applies on Dog and Tirish for Yitzhar. Because the Chumash says, Reishas, Dganach, Vizarosh, Vizarecha. Reishas means the Chumah. But if a person is mafrish on other Yerokas, Maisa Yerik is only the Rabbanon, on other Peris Elon is only the Rabbanon, the Chiyuv to be mafrish is with the Rabbanon. But if you mafrish it, it's Chal Menator. If I emphasize a lot of kashas, if you assume like the Rabbi. The Rabbi assumes, the Rabbi is also assuming like that. There's such a thing as a mitzvah kiyumis, it's Chal. Like the Netziv said about Lokuach, like Rabbi Avila said by Lokuach. Lokuach, the obligation to be mafresh shumas and ma'is is only with the Rabbanah. But if you are mafresh, it'll be chal menater. You don't need a chiyuv hafrosha that it should be chal. Then there's a fascinating inyan. Rabbi Soloveitchik picked this up apparently from the Avnei Nezer. In Europe, where he lived in Europe, in America, he didn't have an Avnei Nezer, but he used to say over a lot of things. Some things he forgot already that he got it from the Avnei Nezer. He would say Shalom B'Shem Omra, but usually he would remember. Sometimes he wouldn't remember who said which way. He would mix up the Avnei Nezer with the Chelkas Yoyev. But when he was young in Europe, he used to use the Avnei Nezer a lot. So one of the big ideas that he picked up from the Avnei Nezer is a concept that the halacha can sometimes recognize a tarte disaster. He can have Shnei HaProchem and Oisei Yechud. So the first example is the Ritva in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma has a suffix when the Kangoral does, takes up Malach Hoftav, Klerosamim Daka, and he does the Haktore on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Gemara has a suffix when he takes it out. What about Bein HaBinayim? What about the Ktoris that got stuck in between his fingers? Whatever is inside Malach Hoftav has the special Kedusha. Whatever didn't go inside the hands has the regular Ktoris. What about Bein HaBinayim, in between the fingers? It has a din like inside or outside. So the Gemara has a Shaila. So the Gemara says, Basa de Bayo Hoda Pashta, I think it's Dakarova. After he raised the Shaila, he was Pashay. Dina Kisafik. So what, Basa de Bayo Hoda Pashta, he wasn't sure whether it's inside or outside, so he was Pashay that it's a Safik. No? That's what he said before also. That was the Shaila. So the Ritva asks, what was he Pashay? That's what he knew from before. He was asking, is it A or B? He says, is it not sure? So the Ritva says, no. There's a concept, Zotar Ben Ashmoshes. Ben Ashmoshes is not a Sofek. The rabbi still couldn't figure out when the end of Yom is, whether it's a Shkia, 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, 5 minutes later. He can't figure out. So many centuries since Maimon Hasina, he still couldn't figure out. Make a committee and take a vote and join the Paskin. He says, no, Ben Ashmoshes is not a Sofek. When the first day ends, when the next day begins. Bein Ashmashes has a din sofik. It has properties of Yom and properties of Laila. It's after the Shkia, the sun is not shining. The sun is not above the horizon, but there's still light outside. So Bein Ashmashes is both Yom and Laila, and we treat it like a sofik. Whenever you have a type of the Sasri, you treat it like a sofik. So the Ritva says, with that marshal, he said, that's what Rabbi said over here. The Bein HaBinayim, the Ktoris that gets caught in between the fingers of the Kangol, when it takes Aloch Ofna, Ktoris HaMavdaka, Be'evi, Mi'beis, La Pareches, has the din like kilifim and kilachutz, and it's a din of tarta desasri. So the Avnei Nezer applies this idea to quite a few additional cases. I think he has over 10 tshuvas where he discusses this topic. There used to be a professor, Schreiber. He was a professor of law at Aaron Schreiber, at Pace University, I think. So he published a whole sefer on this. He starts with Rabbi Soloveitchik, and then he shows you where all the 12 Avnei Nezers are. And Rabbi Soloveitchik gave a mashal to this, that just like in modern physics, there's such a thing as a tarta desasri. They're not sure whether electricity is a particle or a wave or something.
Wave
or a particle. And there's a stira. There are stiras. If it's A, it should be like this, and if it's B, it should be like that. There are stiras. So in modern physics, they say, we recognize there can't be such a thing as a tarta desasri. So Rav Soloveitchik said, over these Avnei Nezer, he said, you can have a tarta desasri. So Rav Soloveitchik used to explain a lot of dinim like that. He used to explain, Avnei Nezer has, sometimes you have a kli, that's, if you have the material that the kli is made from, let's say is 80% metal and 20% earth. So since the roiv is metal, has a din like kli matechas. And if it would be fakert, let's say it would be 80% earthenware and 20% metal, so the Mishnah say you go basaroiv. What if it seems to be 50-50? You can't tell, it looks like it's 50-50. So we paskin that has both dinim. It's both a kli matechas and a kli cheres, and you treat it like a suffix. But it's not that it's a suffix. It's a tie to the sasra and treat it like a suffix. So he says, let's say a kli cheres is not mekabel tumah from the outside, only mekabel tumah from the inside. So someone will touch this kli, so it'll be mekabel tumah from the outside because it's 50% matechas. But then if it's a matechas, then you can have tefila b'mikveh. But if it's a kli cheres, it has no tefila b'mikveh. So there's a machlokes hatanaim. He quotes a Tosefta and Kalim. Do you say mimonavshach that it has tefila? If it became tamei from the outside, on the assumption that it's a kli matechas, so you should be able to be tefila in a mikveh. So he thinks that we paskin that we don't say mimonavshach. It's a tarta desasri, and it's both a kli matechas and a kli cheres. Whenever you have a tarta desasri, you have to treat it as if it were a suffix, but it's not a real suffix. So therefore, you can't say mimon of shach. There's several other cases like that. So Leitchik applied it to many more cases. This was a recurrent theme in his shiur, that the halacha sometimes recognizes tarta desasri. We don't think that it's an impossibility. Then there was another recurrent theme in the Rav Soloveitchik shiurim called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikkun. The Gemara has like that. When the Chacham make a Takana de Rabbanan, the building blocks of halacha have to be concepts that exist on the level of Deraisa. So we mentioned on different occasions the Rambam and the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayis that we mentioned before. The Rambam writes there are five parts to the Torah Shebaal Peh. So he says you have Pirushim Hamkubalim Lamoshim Misina, that the word Priyetzada means an Esra, doesn't mean any good looking fruit. Then you have Halachas Lamoshim Misina, and he gives you a short list, that's the whole Halachas Lamoshim Misina. Then you have all the dinim that are derived by reading in between the lines, Yud Gamamida Shatar and Nidreshes Bem. These are the three parts of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Then the fourth and the fifth Halachim are the Gzeris the Rabbanon and the Takonis the Rabbanon. The Gzeris means the Lois Esra, and the Takonis means the Mitzvah Esra. So the Rambam, it sounds like these become a chelik of the Torah Shebaal Peh min HaTorah. So in order that they should be able to blend in to become a chelik of the Torah Shebaal Peh min HaTorah, so you have to use building blocks that exist on the level of their eyes. It has to be able to blend in. Otherwise, how can it become a chelik of the Torah Shebaal Peh? So that's probably, Rav Soloveitchik didn't say this, but that's probably the reason why the Gemara was makbal in this, called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikkun. They have rare cases in the Gemara where the Gemara says it's a Hilchus HaBaloi Taima. The Gemara in Gittin, the first Perek, Hilchus HaBaloi Taima, Daf Yudalat, I think. So Tosfos says it's not Hilchus HaBaloi Taima for no good reason. Why'd they make up a Din D'Rabban? Tosfos says, no, it doesn't mean no good reason. It means that usually you say, call the Tikkun Rabban and Kein D'Raisa Tikkun, it fits in with the pattern, it goes along with the building blocks of the Din D'Raisa. In these three cases, it's not Kein Deraisa Tikkun, but each case has a good reason. It's not Baloi Taima without a reason. There is a good reason. And then in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes the Hagos Maimoni on the bottom of the Ramah. There is a Gemara in Nidorim where the Gemara has a machlokes where the truck is a din deraisa that you have to lane when the Sefer Torah with truck. Is that a din deraisa or is that a din derabbanan? So the Gemara says, what's an afkanina? So the Gemara said, there's a din, you're not allowed to take schar limud. A Rebbe is not allowed to get paid a salary for teaching the children. The Gemara says, in the end of Ksubas, you have to pay schar batola. He's entitled to get paid money because he didn't take a job. The community wants him not to he's a bright person. He could have gone into business, could have made a lot of money. So if you want him not to go into business, you have to pay him schar batola, not to take a job. But he's not being paid for teaching the Torah. He teaches bechina. Mane mechina, mafata mechina. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Re'eli b'arateschem chukim mimishpotim kashet zivani Hashem alokoi. So the Pasha Peshat is, I taught you the Torah as HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed me to teach you the Torah. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Re'eli b'arateschem chukim mimishpotim. I taught you the Torah in the same way the Ribbono Shel'olam taught me the Torah. On top of Harsinai kashet zivani Hashem alokoi. The Ribbono Shel'olam didn't charge me tuition when I was on the top of Harsinai. So too, when I taught you the Torah, I didn't charge tuition either. I remember once the Galochim came to the yeshiva, so they had a problem. They have a problem that whoever goes to university in Europe doesn't want to go to theological seminary. So stira, how can you, anyone who has an open mind, they go to university, so they see the whole Avodah Zarah is baloney. And here in the yeshiva, they walked around, they see that in the same classroom where they have Gemara in the morning, to have classes in physics, chemistry, and biology, everything in the afternoon. So there's no steer. They're trying to figure out how come by us there's no steer, by them there is a steer. So they thought it must have something to do with the way we run the school. So they were asking Dr. Lamb, how do you run the school? So he says, so he has to figure out what do they want. So he starts off by saying, he says in English, he's thinking in the Gemara, he says, we're not allowed to charge any tuition, just like Moses didn't pay anything to the Baruch Shalom, he didn't pay tuition on top of Harsinai, so they all burst out into laughter. What do you mean? Never heard of such a thing. So they said, so how do you have money to pay the teachers? So he said, we make Malava Malkas, and we didn't know what that means. You have to raise money. They're loaded, they have more than enough, they don't know what to do with their money. They're paying off their money to solve their legal cases. They don't have any problem raising money. We have problems raising money, because we're not allowed to charge money for Schar Limud, yeah. So the Gemara says, if Trup is a din deraisa, then the Rebbe, the Malamed, who teaches the little children Tanakh with Trup, is not allowed to charge for teaching the Trup. But if Trup is only the Rabbanon, then the Malamed is allowed to charge schar pisuk taimim. He's allowed to charge for teaching the Trup. So the Agos Maimoni says, and the Ramah quotes it in Yeridei and Hilchas Talmud Torah, that if someone's going to give a shiur teaching dinim derabbanon, Hilchas Chanukah, Hilchas Tintilis Yadayim, Hilchas Mikra Megillah, teach, give a shir on Dinim Derabbanan, you're allowed to charge money. You're not allowed to charge money if you're giving a shir on Dinim Derais. Give a shir on Dinim Derabbanan, you're allowed to charge money. So Rav Soloveitchik didn't like that in a big way. He said, how can it be? But the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, it becomes a chelik of the Torah Shebaal Peh Min HaTorah. The obligation to light Chanukah candle, the Chavis Agav, is only with the Rabbanan. But a cheftzel shel tervid is on the level of the Raisa. The Rambam says that's one of the five chalokim of the Torah Shebaal Peh. But the Gemara says you're allowed to charge money for the trup. So the boys didn't ask him in shiur, but the students thought, Mestama, the answer is the following. A nigin also blends in to become. If there's a din min haTorah, you need a nigin, so the nigin is also a cheftzel shel tervid. But if the whole institution of the trup is only with the Rabbanan, so a nigin doesn't blend in to become part of the Torah Shema Pedinim. You have Simonim and Seifim, Hilchas Chanukah and Hilchas Tilas Yadayim. So he presented like a bunch of halachas, a halachas that blends in to become Torah Shema Peh on the level of the Raisa. So that Yanaila he taught not like the Hagos, not like the Ramah B'Shem Hagos, but he taught that you're not allowed to charge, even if you're teaching it in the Rabbanon. Rabban Leib Steinman has this whole discussion in one of his Svarim also. They say from Rav Velbel Soloveitchik that the Talmidim put together two svarim of things that he said over the years. He taught in Panevej High School for many, many years. So they have, he wrote many svarim. And then they have even the svarim, even what he didn't write in the svarim, but they have tapes of shurim that he gave for years and years and years. So they put together everything that he ever said about Brisk. So they put it in one sefer. He was born in Brisk. And he used to play as a child. He used to play with the children of Avala Soloveitchik. And he knew the Dayan, Reb Simcha Zelig. He knew Reb Chaim. He was, I think, 6 years old when Reb Chaim passed away. He had the chronos about Reb Chaim and Reb Avala. So he has a whole book, Ela B'Tomer, it's called. His wife's name was Tomer, and she passed away. The Talmidim called it Ela B'Tomer Brisk. And then he has another sefer, Ela B'Tomer, about the Chazon Ish. Has a lot of things about the Chazon Ish. So he says, Reb Avala thought what Rav Soloveitchik thought was Leinitan Lehiomer. Rav Soloveitchik spent over 10 years giving Shur Ma'brochas for the Balbatim. So someone raised an issue. Most of Brochas is all the Rabbonans. So on the level of their eyes, it was all Bittul Torah. It was only Talmud Torah and the Rabbonim. So remember when he said Nishia, after he made the Siyam, so someone raised that issue. So he said, someone raised the question, maybe he would have done better to learn Zvachim and Menachas, that probably 90% is Dinam Deraisa, 10% is Dinam Derabanan, so he would have less Bittul Torah on the level of Deraisa. So he thought, he doesn't think that's correct. He thought, even though the bulk of Brochas deals with Dinam Derabanan, the Chavis HaGavr is Mederabanan, but the Chavta Shal Torah is Menatorah. That's the Ramam and HaKdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayis. He says there are five sections to the Torah about that, and the Xeris and the Takonis, sounds like he says all the Dinam Derabanan become a Chelik of the Torah Shabbat Peh Menatorah. So that's why he didn't think that that was a taina. So Rabban Leibstein, he quotes, Rav Velvala had that idea, that if you learn brochas, it's bittul Torah menat Torah. And he thought that it wasn't, Rabban Leibstein writes, he didn't think that that was correct. And he raises the issue with this Ramah, with the Agos Maimini, about that the Ramah quotes Agos Maimini, that you're allowed to charge money for teaching dinim at the Rabbanon. Why? But it becomes a chelik of Torah Shabbat Peh Menat Torah. So it should be an Issa Derais. He has this whole issue in his Sefer. Similar to this idea called the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein Derais a Tikkun, because the Chachamim wanted all the dinim at the Rabbanon to blend in to become an integral chelik of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So there's a famous Taz, he has in three different places, that the Rabbanon have a right to make Gzera the Rabbanon, but they can't make an Issa. Whatever it says beferish and chumash that something is mutter, so it's not shaykh to make exera de rabban. The Taz quotes this from his father-in-law from the Bach in three different places. So one place is in Hilchus Rosh Hashanah that the Chachamim prohibited tkiyah shofar when Rosh Hashanah chaliyas b'shabes gzera shamei averenu talanamis b'shusara. So the Bach is the kasha. It's mashmiya kol. You're not allowed to play music. You're not allowed to play any musical instrument. So why didn't they prohibit Kiyah Shofar on every Rosh Hashanah, even Lo Chaliyas B'Shabbos? Because Mashmiya Kol, Shem Yisak and Kol Shir. So the Taz quotes this Teretz from the Bach, you can't do away with the Din in the Chumash. It says you have to blow Shofar. It doesn't say B'Teirish, you have to blow Shofar even Rosh Hashanah Shechaliyas B'Shabbos. It's self-understood even B'Shabbos, because Kiyah Shofar is Chochma Veinu Malocha. So when it says you have to blow Shofar, it's understood it applies even if Rosh Hashanah Shechaliyas B'Shabbos. But it's not beferish, so that they had a right to make exer. So this Rab David Cohen from Flatbush from Gul Yavitz put out many, many svarim, fantastic svarim. He's a super genius, tremendous book. He has one sefer that's entitled Divrei HaTaz HaYodua. So he quotes all the Rishonim and Achrayim who had to take a stand on this issue. So before him, they quoted everyone quoted a few marmukams here and there and everywhere. He put all the marmukams together, plus more, put out a ganze sefer on the Taz HaYadua. What did the Rishonim have to say about that? Big issue. But it's based on the same idea. The Taz holds, you want all the Din Derabbanan to blend in to become an integral part of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So how can you make a Din Derabbanan connected to Abba Furish Batur? It'll be a stirim in a bay. In the text of the Chumash, it says you have to blow shofar, and then the text of the Torah Shabbat Peh says you're not allowed to blow shofar. They can't live in peace and harmony together. If you want all the dinim derabbanan to blend in to become a chelik of the Torah Shabbat Peh, you can't make a gzera derabbanan kenegad dovah mufurish b'Torah. That's the argument that the Taz has.
Is learning menhagim? Learning menhagim, is that also a kiyum talmud b'Torah?
Rav Soloveitchik's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, developed an idea which Rav Soloveitchik picked up from his father, that Tosfos writes on the first Mishnah in Bava Basra that sometimes there's a minhag shtus that you're not supposed to follow. There's a famous Shuvas Rabbeinatam that the word minhag spelled mem nun hey gimel, same letters as Gehenna. Minhag is also as Gehenna. There's a Shuvas Rabbeinatam that starts off and Hilchus Gittin starts off like that. So when is it considered a minhag shtus and when not? So Moshe Lubavitcher thought a minig is only binding if there's a kiyum. If the minig doesn't have any kiyum, so that's not binding at all. That's called the minig shtus. Minig has to be binding. So they quoted him in the Yiddish newspapers when he lived in Warsaw. Warsaw was all full of Hasidim, and he was not at all Hasidish. So they all were makrit to eat henshmur. So the writer for the newspaper wanted to make a little trouble. So he interviews Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, and he asks him, what do you say about those who insist on having henshmur? And Moshe Soloveitchik said, there's no kiyum, and even if you've been doing it for 100 years, you're not mechuyev to continue. There's no heder, and there's no kiyum, and there's no minig, and it's not binding. It's a minig shtus. So they wanted to put him in cherem. In Warsaw, they were all Hasidim. He was very schwach in politics. He would say his opinion on things. Yeah. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say that also. Asmachta is a famous topic. There's a famous ritva in the first perek in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara talks about psukim for Malchus, Achonis, and Shofars. So the Gemara later in the Masech seems to say pretty clearly that Malchus, Achonis, and Shofars is only the Rabbana. So the psukim apparently that they quoted in the first perek, Malchus, Achonis, and Shofars, is only an asmachta. So the ritva has a comment there. What does asmachta mean? You can take the New York Times and make an asmachta also. You can take the telephone book and make a gematria, and Rashi Tevis for the New York Times. You can make asmachtas all over the place. So some thought that asmachta is only a mnemonic device that you shouldn't forget the din. So he chap on the din to a pasuk. So he says, no. The ritva says, the ritva comes from the base midrash shel Haramban. The ritva was a Talmud of the Ra'or, Rabban Alevi, who was a Talmud of the Ramban. He says, we have a tradition, probably from the Ramban, that asmachta means that was the author's intention. When the Ribbono Shel Olam wrote the Torah, when he dictated the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what he had in mind. The Ribbono Shel Olam dictated the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that by reading in between the lines, he come up with Dinim Deraisa, and he also, and those Dinim will be Deraisa, binding like Dinim Deraisa, and he also dictated the Torah in such a way that the Chachamim should find a remez, an asmachta for a din derabbanan, and that was the author's intention. He didn't want it to be a din deraisa, he wanted it to be a din derabbanan. So he says the things that have an asmachta, it's like you have the haskama of the Ribbono Shel Olam on that. Like, for example, the Gemara says, Tilis Yadayim is a pasuk, a remez in the Tilis Yadayim. It says, if a zav is tame, the yodav lo shata v'amayim. So if he touches something, it's metame. And if the zav washes his hands, if he's not toivel in the mikveh, he's still a zav, he's still metame. What does it mean? So mikan remez l'tilus yadayim minatur. It's a very strong remez. So he said. So the ritva says that's a real asmachta. The rotzen of the Rabbi Shalom was, the kavana was that in a future generation the chacham should come up with such a din derabbanan. So that's what's famous from the Primogodim and the Psich HaKolelis and the Beis HaLevi has a tshuva also. They think there are two kinds of asmachta. There's an asmachta chashuva. It looks like this is really the hidden rotzen of the Rabbanu Shalom. He was meramez that he wanted the chachamim to come up with such a din. Then you have what we call asmachta bi'alma. That's only a mnemonic device. And the Beis HaLevi has in the beginning of the third chelik and the tshuva is Beis HaLevi. He talks a lot about the het mechira, about shmitah b'zman hazeh. So he says, when you have a real asmachta chashuva, he says the same as the Primogodim. He doesn't quote the Primogodim, but he says the same. If you have an asmachta chashuva, then we should be machma like a dinde raisa. He don't always say sveka derabon lekulam. If you have a dinde rabon that has a real good asmachta to it, and that was the kavanas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he dictated the chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, then you should say sveka derabon lechumra. If you have only asmachta bialmo, so that's not bad. Then you can say sveka derabon lechumra. The Gemara has another concept. The Gemara sometimes, someone will take a stand, will ask him, what's the din about hakrabas karbonas? The Gemara says, what, hilchus al mashicha? We have no beis hamikdash. It's not a real shayla, halacha lemaaseh bizman hazeh. When a person is, Moshe Feinstein said, when they ask me a shayla, and I have to work it out, halacha lemaaseh, so then he writes a tshuva, then he assumes he has a siyata d'shmaya to ask him properly. If they never ask him in the shayla, so if it's not negei lahalacha, so then he doesn't work it out halacha lemaaseh. So whenever something that's in hilchos karbonas, So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? You got paskening what the din is. It's not nageh b'zman hazeh. To talk and learning, to say halach l'maisa only makes sense if it's nageh. Let's say it was something that was nageh, there was a rosh shon the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, about how to eat the mon or something, how to leave over the mon or whatever. So that's not divrei Torah. It's only divrei Torah if it's a din that's noig l'doris b'zman hazeh, and it's nageh halach l'maisa b'zman hazeh. Whatever is not yet nageh halach l'maisa, when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt and will be bringing karbanas, then it's have to talk about how do you paskin la'alochet. But because man, you don't have the Beis HaMikdash, that's called Hilchus of the Mashiach. What are you discussing halach l'maisa if the thing is not nageh? It's interesting that Bavli has a few times a concept, Adam Choshev Shaini, even if something strictly speaking is mutter, Rabbonim should be machmer, because the balabatim will have a tendency, if the rabbi has a certain level of religious observance, they'll assume the rabbi is on a higher level, he's more machmer, we can be mekel 10 degrees lower. So if the rabbi is just going to follow the letter of the law, strictly what the din is, and the balabatim will observe 10 levels lower than the rabbi, they'll be violating a din. So the Gemara has a din, Odom Chashim Shaini. So the Achreinim quote from the Be'er Sheva, on the Gemara in Horius. So the Be'er Sheva thinks that this idea of Adam Choshev Shaini only applies to Bishul Akum. That's one of the cases where the Gemara has it. A certain Shalom Bishul Akum is mutter, but Adam Choshev should be machna. So the Achreinim on Masik, they say it's not true. The Gemara has it in many areas of Allah. We say Adam Choshev should be machmer, because the others, they'll see the Adam Choshev is mekel, so they'll be mekel even more than that. The Shach writes an interesting comment in Yerideya, that this idea, Adam Choshev Shaini, never appears in the Yerushalmi. The Bavli has it in a few cases, and it should apply in many more cases also, but the Yerushalmi never has it. The idea is that even though the Chachamim said something is mutter, it doesn't mean it's mutter for everybody. Whatever the Chachamim said is aser, that's Dov HaShava, the Mesillas Yerushalmi writes a lashon. That's Dov HaShava L'chol Nefesh. Everybody has to observe that din. Even if you think you live in a generation or in a society where the whole din derabbanan is irrelevant, everybody has to observe it. But just because the Gemara says something is mutter, doesn't mean that it's mutter for you. Maybe under your circumstances, I'm in the fur business, or I'm in the restaurant business, and maybe I have to be machmer on this din. I'm a professor in a university, whatever. You're in a situation where you may violate an issa because of your specific situation. So there's nothing wrong. The Torah says, Shmarta mishmarti, Asum Mishmaris L'Mishmati, you should make a siyag for yourself. So Adam Choshev Shani also, but Adam Choshev should be machmer a little bit. The Pasuk says in Megillas Rus that Elimelech left with his two sons, with his wife, they left Eretz Yisrael, there was a Shnas Batzoris. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Bava Basra, strictly speaking, when there's a Shnas Batzoris, there's no food to eat, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. So why were they punished? Because they left Eretz Yisrael. Because the Pasuk says, Ephrasim, Rashi writes, Anoshim Chashuvim. They were Anoshim Chashuvim, Odom Choshev Shaini. Because everybody looked up to him. He was like the most Bekovedik Balabos, or maybe he was a rabbi. Everybody looked up to him. So if he's being Mekel on Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Balabatim are going to be Mekel 10 degrees more than that. He should have been Machmer, Odom Choshev Shaini. So that's a concept that exists in Shulchan Aruch. I'll just close with this final point. The Rambam has the 14 Sharoshim, the 14 Klolim that guide him to determine what belongs in the Sefer Mitzvah or not. So he said the first one is you only count mitzvahs deraisa, you don't include mitzvahs derabbanan. The second Shorosh he has is you only include things that are lefi pshutu shel mikra, Torah shebichsav. You don't include drushes, lidim mitzvahs that are based on Torah shebal peh. Because in every generation, they're going to add on more and more and more. They're not going to be left with 613. Then the third, we mentioned the ninth, about Kefla Mitzvah. Then the third of the Sharoshim is also very famous, very important. The Rambam says you only include Dinim that are Noiv L'Doris. If something was only Hayroshah, not to leave over the month, overnight. It was only Hayroshah, so that doesn't belong in the Sefer Mitzvahs. That's why Rashi quotes from the Torah's Kohanim on the opening Pasuk in Parshas Tzav. Rashi quotes, "Ein loshen tzava loshen ziris miyada l'doris." It's a technical term, a mitzvah. Only the term mitzvah only applies if it's noig l'doris. Kasha tziva Hashem is Moshe only if the din is noig l'doris. If it's on a Rosh Hashanah, It's not going to say, it'll say Kidvar Moshe. It won't say Kasha Tziva Hashem is Moshe. So why is this so? So we assume we have a klal. The Rambam writes the 13 Ikori HaMuna. So one of them is Zos HaTorah Lo Sein Mochlefes. The laws of the Torah are immutable. They never change. Why the world keeps on changing? So what's so bad if the mitzvah is HaTorah? If another Navi would come and say, so the Baruch Shalom says, no. The last pasuk in Chumash Reikon, the last pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar says, Eila mitzvah shatzib Hashem es Moshe. These and only these are the mitzvahs that are binding throughout all of future generations. Only what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. If another Navi comes along and he says, Ribbono Shel Olam said, no longer have to keep Shabbos, Akash, whatever, be Yadua, that is a Navi Asheker. Because the only one who was given Dinim Ladoris is Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever he said is Ladoris, is binding Ladoris. Why such an obstinate insistence that all the laws of the Torah are immutable? And today, that's basically the difference between the Orthodox and the others. The others, even those that do believe in God, and do believe in Torah and Hashem, but they don't believe that the laws of the Torah are immutable. So why such an insistence? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, and he has it in his published essays, a few essays, he has it, that both the Baal HaTanya and Rav Chaim Volozhin give the same explanation. Why is laws of Torah lo sein mochlefes? Because the Torah is derech mashal. Torah is a description of Elokus. The Torah is a collection of Taryag mitzvahs. We have 248 mitzvahs sesei, and Shin Samachay mitzvahs lo sesei. It's a collection of laws. But in addition to being a law book, if you put the whole picture of all the 630 mitzvahs together, you get a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. We can't understand what the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. One of the Rishonim have a Loshon Ili Daitiv Hayisiv. If I would understand what Elokus is, the only one who understands the Likus is the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. So we couldn't understand. So the Ribbono Shel Olam had to give us Derech Moshel. If he would give us a Moshel, we wouldn't understand that either. So Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in Nefesh HaChaim, it's a Moshel of a Moshel of a Moshel of a Moshel. The Sabbath so is a Mashiach Yecholu Lishmael, to give us an inkling of what Likus is all about. So we know in physics, everything in the world, everything in the Bria keeps on changing. The physics, modern physics, they say everything is reverting back to Tohu Vavohu. Whatever, but everything in the world keeps on changing, except for Elokus. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, the Navi says, Ani Hashem lo shanisi, atem ani yankev lo chalisim. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the only thing that's not changing. He's not part of the Bria. He was the one who created the whole Bria. The whole Bria keeps on changing. So because the Torah is a description of Elokus, so that's why the laws of the Torah cannot change, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence doesn't change. And when we're learning Torah, that's what the Baal HaTanya has in the opening pages of the Tanya. When a person learns Torah, this is the way he becomes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say every day in Kriya Shema, Yahavtos Hashem Alakecha B'chol Lebavcha. How does one develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's invisible. How can you develop a love for an invisible being? So Rashi says, what does it say in the next pasuk? Well, you are Dvarim Ha'ela, by Liman HaTorah. You get to learn what Elokus is all about. So then you'll get to love him. If you don't know what he's all about, you can't be in love with him. So the only way to understand what Elokus is all about, by putting together all the mitzvahs in the Torah, get a full description of Elokus. And that's what Rashi and Parshas Mishpatim quotes a Medrash on the Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, Kashiyar Mahamoshal HaKadmoini, Merushayim Yetzei Rasha. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, the Moshal HaKadmoini is the Torah. It's a Moshal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shehu Kadmonu Shel Olam. He was the ancient one. He was there before he created the whole world. And the Torah is a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chabad Chaim says, a mashal like a photograph. If I've never seen the king, but I was in the I saw his photograph in the newspapers, and I was walking in the capital city, and I saw a person with the same facial features walking in the street with two armed guards down either side. So I know Biyadua, that's the king, because I know what he looks like. So the only way to identify Elokus is by learning the Torah. That's the way to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After Shashem Lakecho, the way to develop a love is by Liman HaTorah. We should all have a wonderful Yom Tov Shavuos.